Someplace there's got to be a place where people are free to discuss what they know and what they don't know and to find out what they can.
Radioactive Waves is presented by the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History. Together, we will explore all things atomic, nuclear, and radioactive, along with some interesting surprises from our museum's collections and connections.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Anna Part, and I'm here with my co-host,
David Gibson. How are you doing, Anna?
I'm good. How are you, David?
I am doing wonderful.
Awesome.
Now, I know that in the last couple months, we've done a little bit heavier content.
Yeah.
You've put together some wonderful podcasts on Black History Month and Pride and, you know, some very just heavy content.
Sure.
And you've done a wonderful job of putting those together. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
That's because you rock.
So
this time I figured I had to step up a little bit. So I brought some extra heavy topics, some dark, dark stuff, because I want to talk about glowing kitty cats. Yes.
Oh,
so,
God.
Yeah. So when it's turn, then we all of a sudden talk about glowing kitty cats. Yeah. So we go from this meaningful stuff with all this meat in it to, glowing cats.
I mean, that's the fun of nuclear history. Is there's a whole, it runs the whole gambit. We're potentially doing a virtual event in the next few months about how music and television, music on television, has dealt with the bomb, and I think that is going to be hilarious because it's going to be a lot about cartoons and all sorts. So, obviously, nuclear history, it runs the full spectrum.
So when you say, is it music and television or music on television?
It's music on television.
Really?
Yeah. She's studied how television shows portrayed the anxiety of the Cold War, the nuclear, kind of.
That's kind of awesome.
Nervousness.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of that is in Looney Tunes and SNL and so that should be really interesting. Stick around. I don't have any details on that, but that's just a
more
possibility.
To come.
Yeah.
Really? Uh-huh. Yeah. That's awesome. I think that kind of stuff is amazing. And that's kind of the stuff like we touch on here, the things that they're not maybe direct, that you would find in some, big thick history book.
Yeah.
But they're every bit as much history and they're every bit as much part of the human part or the human aspect of these things. So that's pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit more about that. And then you did you just have one on radiation and makeup, or there was I saw it
on
but I didn't get a chance to explore any more into it. So would you mind just telling us a little bit about the radiation and makeup, because that was pretty interesting.
So we had the extreme pleasure of having Lucy Jane Santos, who is, this was her debut book, promotion for her first book called Half Lives, that's all about radium beauty products, everything from corsets to hand creams to eyeshadows. Not all of them have any atomic or radioactive stuff in it,
right?
But radium was a huge deal.
A huge selling point at the time. Yeah.
Fashion.
Yeah.
And so, its name got used even if the actual substance radium was not being used. Although, like I said, some of them definitely were radioactive.
Oh my gosh.
So, that was honestly so much fun. That was a really, really fun virtual event. So, if you too are interested in, coming to a virtual event like this, like with Lucy Santos, where we got to, talk about these really interesting and crazy beauty products with an expert, which me and Dave are knowledgeable, but we are not experts. So.
Not quite to the level of expert. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're enthusiasts.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Enthusiasts.
Exactly. Well-trained enthusiasts. So yeah, if you would like to come along, all of our virtual events are free for members, and $10 is kind of the standard. I don't want to, I think maybe we might have more expensive or less expensive events in the future, but typically $10, or you could always become a member, or you could even become an Atomic History patron member.
And that's where it's at.
Yeah, that's how you get podcasts a week early. That's how, you know, you can help support us make these podcasts, and support the museum and more things to come.
Because we do appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Because I enjoy sitting across the table from Anna and talking about crazy things.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So this one is, like we mentioned, a little bit just more of a fun podcast. Mm-hmm. We will be talking about the whip plant, which is here in New Mexico. This broadcast, or podcast, not really broadcast. Boy, that makes it sound even fancier. Let's go with broadcast. But this podcast is, you know, taking place. We're right here in the National Museum of Nuclear Science History as we're recording this one. Things that happen in New Mexico are, you know, of importance to us, and we are interested in. The radioactive kind of world is interested in WIP because it's a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. Storage facility. Mm-hmm. For nuclear waste. And it's the only one in the United States that is a permanent repository for waste. And so the byproducts from when they're making things using nuclear materials or from power plants are, you know, brought down to WIP, and they handle them. They put them in what is essentially a salt cave. And the salt cave does what salt caves do, and that is continue to encapsulate whatever's in it. And so that's why they've set up WIP where they did. Go ahead.
We have a barrel, like an example barrel. Mm-hmm. I'm not, don't quote me on whether or not it's actually radioactive or not, but in our collection room, we have this big blue barrel that is like an example of what would go into WIP. It's full of, you know, it's not really full of what I personally would have thought
what
it would be.
What you would picture, yeah. I think that's neat, yeah.
It's like gloves and aprons and like tools and, just a lot of irradiated things, not just radioactive sludge. Although I'm sure that that's also down there.
That's neat that you bring that up, because that is normally what you picture as, mm-hmm. okay, radioactive waste is something that's going to turn you into a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you're talking that radioactive sludge. That's what radioactive waste is. But really primarily, and you can even see on display here in the
mm-hmm.
museum,
mm-hmm.
We've got, you know, one of the containers that they'll use for moving the waste, and then we've got some examples of what's used to store it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and really when you look in there, like you say, it's gloves and glasses, and it's really anything that has been in contact with.
Yeah, lots of PPE.
Yes, exactly. A lot of PPE, because that's what they use to protect themselves from the radiation, and those are the things that are being irradiated. And so rather than it actually being the fuel from, you know, a generating station, mm-hmm. it's really primarily,
or like big barrels of water, like
right.
Fukushima. Like that's not usually what's the main thing
right.
that's going there.
Yeah, when you look at it, you really wouldn't be able to tell if that was going to the dump,
mm-hmm.
you know, the
mm-hmm.
or it was mm-hmm. going to WIP. Yeah, because
yep.
it really just looks like kind of like junk
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about WIP, that's what we're talking about, is that facility here in New Mexico that is holding that waste. So we'll be mentioning WIP quite a few times in this podcast, because it's kind of has to do with WIP in that it was when they designed WIP, they had some questions, and the questions were, okay, the one that we'll be dealing with here anyway, I'm sure there was a whole bunch of questions. I mean, you're talking storing radioactive waste. But the one that we're going to be kind of addressing is, okay, in, and this study here was pointing at or directed at 10,000 years. Okay, so in 10,000 years, how are we going to tell people that this place is dangerous? Now, before I had kind of heard about this project here, I had never even considered 10,000 years or even when you start looking at what they were going, you know, in their studies, we're finding in 300 years.
Yeah.
You know, because you look now, if I were to pick up a copy of Beowulf,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is written in English, my mm-hmm. native language, mm-hmm. and I have picked up I own a copy of Beowulf that I have struggled and fought to read, and this is not what I would call English, even though this is our native language. You know, you're looking at words that, you know, or even Shakespeare. If you were to read Shakespeare in the original text, you would look at it and say, I don't know how
this needs a lot of time and focus and like looking words up and to even start to untangle it.
Right.
Whereas Beowulf is fully like it's another language.
Yes. Yeah.
It's Middle English,
which is, I mean, to us, a completely foreign language.
Yeah. And that's only a thousand years
ago. If that. Yeah. And so that's insane to say, okay, so we have this stuff, this radioactive materials that we are going to be storing. And I mean, they are going to be encapsulated in salt. And really, I mean, from an environmental angle, mm-hmm. For the most part, it is going to build itself a case.
Yeah.
But environmental and human interest mm-hmm. are two different things. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got people, I mean, like us, mm-hmm. and we find something that looks like it's interesting from the past, mm-hmm. we don't say, hey, let's just respect that. Let's leave that alone.
Yeah.
Our first instinct is to get a shovel.
Yeah. Yeah.
get, you know, whatever. And in 10,000 years, who knows what their, you know, technology is going to be.
Exactly.
For exhuming and bringing out this stuff. And so,
I mean, the whole point of the pyramids was mm-hmm. to give someone an eternal resting place.
Right.
And that only lasted, I guess about a thousand. I don't know. Don't quote me on my timeline, but hundreds of years.
Right.
It only lasted hundreds of years.
Exactly.
Before other humans came along and said, what's in there?
Right.
We should go check it out mm-hmm. and mess with it and grind it up and put it into paint and food.
Right. Exactly.
Because.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a great idea for what to do with mummies.
Yep. Yeah, because here in the United States, I mean, there was a huge, it was just the in thing mm-hmm. for those that had a little bit of money. The Egyptology was just massive. It was mm-hmm. a matter of they would find mummies, they would have them shipped here, and they would have unwrapping parties here in the United States.
Yep.
And this is, like you say, you're talking a span of a couple hundred years. And these pyramids and these you know, sepulchres of different sort were made to say, okay, don't mess with this. Please don't mess with this.
Mm-hmm. We're going to make it extremely hard for you to mess with this,
right.
too.
Yeah.
Did not stop.
No. And even prior to that, a lot of times when, you know, the Europeans were coming in to get stuff, it was already gone because it had been robbed hundreds mm-hmm. of years prior to that.
Yeah.
And so when you're looking at radioactive waste, something that's potentially dangerous, mm-hmm. Saying, okay, no, really this time.
Yeah.
We mean, please, really this time, don't mess with this. There's nothing valuable in here unless you need a good pair of gloves that's slightly irradiated. There's nothing in here you want. This is something that is dangerous. This is something that can harm you and the following generations if you were to, you know, just bring it up and expose it all to the soil. Damage can be done. And so that's what this it's called the Raycat Project. And it was a thing that they Sandia National Labs, mm-hmm. Which is here where it's right down the street from where we are.
It's a couple blocks south.
Yeah, a couple blocks south of where we are right here. They kind of spearheaded this Raycat Project. And they didn't really call it the Raycat Project. They called it the 10,000 year question. But the Ray Kitty kind of story there is where I, you know, where my personal interest really comes in. My cat's name is Ray, you know, Ray Cat. And that's the cat's full name because my girls kind of found this project. They love this project. We have a little logo we designed and all kinds of stuff because they love this Ray Cat thing. And so when I'm talking about this 10,000 year project, our question, I'm actually going to get to the Ray Cat thing because that's pretty interesting. And it was one of the kind of oddball solutions that came when they were talking about what do we do with this stuff and how do we tell humans in 10,000 mm-hmm. years mm-hmm. that this is dangerous.
Yeah. One of my areas of interest is semiotics, which is the study of signs.
Beautiful. Yes.
And I can tell you right now that, I mean, my master's thesis was about advertising and packaging of the confectionery industry in Britain during the Victorian era. Some of the images that they were using in the Victorian era completely make sense now. Right. Some of them, not at all. Not at all.
Sure.
So even just 100 years ago, we already are having a disconnect between that culture and that, you know, system of signs,
right.
Semiotic language. So even if, you know, we're okay, all right, Beowulf can't understand it. We won't use language.
Right. We'll use
symbols.
Words. Yeah.
Even that is going to be really hard to make sure that people understand universally what something means.
Exactly. Well, I think, you know, when we look, and I love that, and I didn't know that was your interest. We could geek out on that all day long. maybe we'll have a whole separate podcast on that.
Because
yes,
have another one.
Yeah, that is a huge interest of mine also. But because, I mean, you look at if we were to take us and Pompeii were to hit and we were all covered mm-hmm. Right now, and in 100 years, mm-hmm. We were to be dug through and looked at, they would say, okay, well, this was a culture that worshipped Iron Man. I mean, think about it. I mean, yeah. You know, because little black squares for hands. They, you know, I mean, they had all of these strange symbols and their entire life, you know, the bending of the neck, mm-hmm. you know, if they were to interpret us as we see now, I mean, mm-hmm. everything is.
Without context, it's really hard to understand
exactly,
things.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So they have stars on their chests. All of the warriors have these big stars with a big circle on their chest or an S on their chest, you know, I was going with superheroes still. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, the out of context.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Which is why I didn't understand you just now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like even in the moment, this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So because, what are we going to do?
Right. So what is going to say, okay, no, really, don't mess with this stuff. And so they looked into, you know, they had a couple different people that they asked. They asked Carl Sagan, for one, who, you know, has got a reputation of having a mind for this type of thing, of looking into, you know, whether it's the cosmos or whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, different our universe or humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has got a reputation of having just an insight.
Yeah.
And so they said, you know, who's going to know? Carl Sagan. He's going to know. He's going to know for sure. Let's ask Carl Sagan.
He knows said, science of and philosophy.
Yes, exactly. So he's going to know if anybody.
Yeah.
And so they asked Carl Sagan, very quick answer. He said, of course, the skull and crossbones. Sorry, Carl.
Yeah.
Because even, you know, looking at the skull and crossbones mm-hmm. is it's really a fairly recent mm-hmm. symbol. And I mean, in its inception, it was rebirth. It was regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, well, now it's changed a little bit. You know, we say, OK, well, the Jolly Roger.
Yeah.
But even at that time, it was a began as a welcome. And then it began, and then it was kind of, as they changed from swords to bones, and you know, it had different iterations, you know, and then it went to poison,
mm-hmm.
You know, that mm-hmm. it's poison. But like now, if you were to see a skull and crossbones on something, you'd be like, hey, that's a really cool coffee cup.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or you'd say, hey, I bought this particular beverage because it's got the skull and crossbones on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, because it had that connotation of, you know, maybe something like death or whatever,
yeah.
because it went from regeneration or rebirth to death and yeah. then now to something that's hip and cool, well, maybe that's not what you want. Because if we were to stop time now and they were to see skull and crossbones on something, they'd be like, hey, they got something awesome in there.
Yeah.
And so that's not what you want.
Yeah. I bet you there's a cool man cave down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
I bet you there's like a bunch of pool tables, maybe some foosball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. There's neon signs galore.
Yeah,
And so that's, you know, one of those things that they're like, well, maybe that's not, you know, going to really be what we want as far as a symbol.
So another thing that they were considering, because, I mean, there is a certain amount that, you know, we can understand, like cave paintings, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to understand that's the imprint of a human hand. Look, those stick figures
sure.
are hunting. That appears to be some kind of game animal. They have spears. That's more stable than some of the more symbolic symbols.
Sure.
You know, yeah. abstract symbols. Yeah. And so one of the things they thought, okay, well, maybe we can make a little story, a narrative, show a narrative through pictures about what will happen if you go near this radioactive source. And so the first panel shows a tree in the background and a happy little guy with... you know, just walking along, and he walks next to something that has the radioactive symbol on it.
Okay.
Then the next panel shows that the radioactivity has transferred to him because now he has like a little radioactive symbol on his shirt.
Okay.
And then he walks away from the source, and he's still radioactive. It's on his shirt, and then he starts. You know, he's holding his neck and he has a frowny face and he's further away.
Okay.
So even after he's left the area, that's what it's trying to show is that like, if you come near this, it's not like a fire where you can just step back right. in order to stop being burned. It can travel with you. But the problem with this one is that not every culture reads in the same direction. So if you read the comic
okay.
from the bottom up, it very much appears that this man has found the fountain of youth and
something that healed him or made him.
Yeah, he was sad and by a tree, but then he walked closer to this source.
Right.
And now he no longer has it. The source took it. Took the symbol off his shirt, and he feels great.
So again, we have the radium from the now we're back to the same that takes us back 60 years in a heartbeat. So that's not good.
So that one, that's the problem. Is like, how do we make sure that these things are in order and understandable?
So if you're looking at these symbols. And you say, okay, well, so maybe a narrative isn't going to work because, you know, you've got the directions, you read them.
Mm-hmm.
They came up with one that is the one that I've been promising to talk about, which is the Raycat. And so it came from the Human Interference Task Force. And so that was, they were going to work on the Yucca Mountain Project. Which the Yucca Mountain Project never really took off. And so now we've got WIP. But their idea was a little bit more maybe out there, if you will. But they, to kind of break it down, they started looking, okay, well, what throughout history, what do we see, you know, in different types of pictograms, you know, throughout history?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the cat. They saw that, okay, so... Throughout history, all the way back...
We're back to ancient Egypt.
Exactly, back to ancient Egypt. All the way back, it seems that cats were part of, you know, the way that they...
Human
Yeah, if you got people,
culture,
you got cats.
Understanding, yeah. Development.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so they said, okay, so there should be something we should be able to do with cats.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had an idea. They wanted to establish a folklore around the cat, and that they wanted to genetically engineer cats that when they were exposed to radiation. Yeah, no, you're catching this right. They wanted to genetically engineer cats that when they were exposed to radiation, they would change colors.
Okay, yeah. But can we just get some like hair dye that does that instead?
Yeah, I don't know, but their thinking behind this was, well, then, you know, they would continue to perpetuate, and
yeah.
then you know, even if as this cat would die, we would have, you know, cats still.
Yeah, yeah.
And cats are great, and we're going to have cats around because we have people around, mm-hmm. and that's just how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And so if these cats were around and all of a sudden they began to change colors,
sure.
we would know something was wrong.
Yeah.
And so the other part of that project was to create this whole folklore around it.
Yeah.
Because stories change, and mm-hmm. stories, you know, morph over time, just like symbols.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but... Well, to say, okay, if they could get the general idea that if the cat's changing colors, something's bad.
Yeah.
And so yeah. a color-changing cat is bad.
Yeah.
Was the general gist of this yeah. entire project. And so, you know, they said, okay, well, if we can create songs, which we'll get to songs in just a minute here. We actually have a song that we will play for you guys in just a moment.
I'm very excited. I've never heard it.
Yes, it's awesome, and you will hate it because it works. And it works in the way that it is. It's going to get stuck in your head, and you're going to be singing it in the shower, and you're going to be singing it in the car. And that's the point, and that was the fun of it. So they're actually, you know, got a small kind of following around this Ray Cat idea. And even though, you know, it is a little bit out there,
mm-hmm.
We have started to see things that are kind of moving in that direction. We do now have glow-in-the-dark cats are a reality when they're put under a black light.
Whoa.
We do have cats that glow. These are something you can look up on the internet. It's not fake. But under black light, we've genetically engineered using fish, you know, fish
sure.
that are, you know, bioluminescent
mm-hmm.
or fish that are fluorescent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been able to genetically engineer glow-in-the-dark cats, which to me is probably the biggest nightmare that could ever happen because owning a cat, I know. Waking up in the middle of the night with the cat sitting on my bed,
oh, God.
The only thing that would be scarier would be that thing to be glowing.
Oh my God.
It would be the death of me. I wouldn't require radiation. I would just die. But yeah, so you know, science has come ways, but that wasn't their goal to move toward this Ray Cat project.
Yeah.
It's just kind of become something that was a fun idea and a way to keep people thinking about this.
Yeah.
This quandary,
problem.
This problem that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, it is something that is a fun thing, and we'll just listen to the song and we'll go from there.
Don't change color, kitty, keep your color, kitty, stay that pretty gray. Don't change color, kitty, keep your color, kitty, keep sickness away. Don't change color, kitty, keep your color, kitty, please, cause if you do, for glow your luminescent eyes, you're all gonna have to move. Don't change color, kitty, keep your color, kitty, stay that pretty gold. Don't change color, kitty, keep your color, we'll keep you from the cold. So don't change color, kitty, keep your color, cause we need your kind around. The minute you change your looks, we're bringing you with us out of town. So don't change color, kitty, keep your color, kitty, no, I don't know why. Don't change color, kitty, keep your color, kitty, God said it's not right. So don't change color or flash your eyes, cause Lord knows if you do, I hope you think it's cozy in your travel case, because it's time to move. So don't change color, kitty, keep your color, kitty, stay that midnight black. The radiation could change in flies, kill him, that's a fact. Radiation, whatever that is something we don't want. Cause it withers our crops and it burns our skin and it turns our livestock on. So don't change color, kitty,
kitty, don't flash your eyes, so don't change color. Little kitty, don't flash your eyes, so don't change color.
So, I mean, as you can see, this is just a fun, like, little ditty ditty, don't change color, kitty. but it's something that's intended to just kind of keep this in our minds.
Yeah.
What are we going to do in 10,000 years?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, that's – we can already draw a parallel in the modern world as well, because we have tourists – who specifically want to go to the Chernobyl exclusion zone. And part of the reason that they want to do that is that there's a whole bunch of semi-domesticated dogs. Well, semi, I don't know. They were domesticated, right. And now they've
become
a bit
feral.
Semi-feral, yeah. But, you know, those dogs are highly radioactive. And taking one home is not a good idea. And the fact that people are attracted to something that looks really desolate and dangerous and scary. One of the other ideas was making like a giant, you know, field of needle-like.
Yeah, spiky fortress.
Yeah, you know, something that just looked really unappealing to go to. But guess what? Whip, which is in Carlsbad, New Mexico, is right by Carlsbad Caverns, which has
right.
a whole bunch of spikes
mm-hmm.
that attract tourists
and
all the time.
and the idea of, I mean, me personally, I would be guilty of this.
Yep.
You come across
yep.
seeing something that you're like, okay, that looks like they're trying to protect something. There must be something valuable.
Yeah, there's something good.
And that would
good.
Be my first thought is like, if they went to that much trouble, mm-hmm. it must be something pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there are, that this project went to a lot of, towns or organizations that had been dealing with abandoned mine shafts.
Mm-hmm.
Because abandoned mines are a huge problem. They're
right.
super, super dangerous. And they're also the number one place that your delinquent teen brother
exactly.
wants to go on the weekend.
Right.
Yeah, you can cause an attraction by putting up a keep out sign.
Exactly.
So how do you ingrain into generations of people that this cat changing color is actually not a good thing.
Right, right.
It's
yeah.
it's not actually really super cool and great that you now have a cat that's a different color.
Right. Yeah. that's what's fun about this like particular story and
mm-hmm.
and you know and then getting into something that's as kind of off the wall as a color changing cat
yeah.
is it is
not
very
not where I would go first.
Right, yeah,
to
exactly.
solve this problem.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what would bring you to that. There would be a lot of steps I think I would, go to before that one. That's what's fun about going into and talking about something like a ray cat or, a field of spikes and needles is that, yeah, these are maybe some off the wall ideas, but it's a genuine issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a genuine concern.
Yeah.
And so even talking about something as crazy as this
mm-hmm.
Kind of keeps it alive.
Yeah.
And that's how,
yeah.
and that was the idea behind, the 10,000 year, question or the 10,000 year problem was, okay, how do you keep this relevant for that
mm-hmm.
long? I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, we're right now we are making strides in nuclear energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, perhaps at that time the symbols will be the same, but the odds are very, very slim.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as we've mentioned, even things that seem like, well, that's a pretty solid one. You know, skull and
yeah.
crossbones, that's pretty bad. That means it's bad. But it hasn't always, and it
yeah.
doesn't really now. And so, you know, it's just neat to keep that in mind. And I know this one is, just a little bit more lighthearted. It was just something that we can, continue the conversation on.
Yeah.
And
the more people who learn about it,
exactly,
the more likely it is to succeed.
And that's exactly it. Yeah, is talk about it. you know, come mm-hmm. up with some kind of crazy, mm-hmm. You know, scheme or way to come up with an idea. And maybe Anna, they could even, if they've got a great idea, they could email us and we could talk about it.
That would be ideal.
There you go. So if they were to email us, what's a good email for us in the podcast here?
Well, to reach us, you would email info@nuclearmuseum.org.
But yeah, so that's a great way to reach us, is through that email there. Thank you guys for listening to, you know, a little bit more lighthearted, just fun podcast. I love these conversations with you, Anna, mm-hmm. and it's fun to have, you know, a little bit lighthearted one. I do appreciate the nice, heavy, meaty content, and we have that opportunity, and I think that that's a neat thing about this particular podcast, is we can go to those heavier places mm-hmm. or talk about glowing cats.
Yep.
All right.
I am very grateful that you brought this subject today. This was a great way to spend the day recording. I'd just like to thank our Atomic History Patron members. Again, you guys are amazing. Thank you so, so much. We appreciate you. Every day of the month, but especially the 15th.
That's our favorite day for you guys. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening. Watch out for color-changing cats. And don't forget
to wash your hands.
Radioactive Waves has been presented by the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History. Join us next time for more interviews, histories, and insights on topics like the Manhattan Project, science and pop culture, the atomic age, and the differences between nuclear fact and fiction.